We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome in. Trevor Lane here for LakersNation.com, your home for everything Lakers. The Lakers Nation crew and I hopped on to Twitter Spaces to talk a bit about DeAndre Ayton staying with the Phoenix Suns, what that might mean for the Indiana Pacers, and if that opens up some new trade opportunities for your Los Angeles Lakers. We also talked a bit about Rob Pelinka. Is he on the hot seat? What the Lakers can look like next season, particularly if Russell Westbrook winds up staying in town. And we also discussed a number of different trade possibilities with both the LN crew and Lakers fans who we brought up on stage. So that's what's going to follow here for today's show. It's going to be our Twitter Spaces that included Daniel Starkan, Matt the Optimist Peralta, and Sean Davis. Enjoy.
Well, I do want to welcome everybody in who's joining us here, who's coming in from Twitter. Appreciate all of you guys joining us tonight. Matt the Optimist Peralta joining us along with Sean Davis and of course Daniel Starkan as well. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good. Sorry I'm a little late. I just woke up from my nap after staying up so late last night. So apologies. But I'm here.
We were on Spaces pretty late last night, but you know what? We had a pretty good Lakers conversation going, so couldn't really complain that much. I do want to get into what this DeAndre Ayton situation means now for the Lakers, because Ayton does not go to the Pacers. The Pacers now have cap space sitting there waiting for someone to use it. And I've already had a lot of Lakers fans say, well, should it be the Lakers? Can this now be a landing spot for Russell Westbrook? Matt, since you're already on here, what are your thoughts on that? Are the Pacers now more of an option, less of an option? How do you see it?
Man, Buddy Hield, Miles Turner, Patrick Beverley going to go crazy, the starting five, huh? That's it's kind of the move, isn't it? I think it definitely opens up avenues for the Lakers to dump Westbrook's contract into three-team trade somewhere. I think that's where my mind went as soon as the offer sheet came out and as soon as Phoenix matched it, which was good for Lakers fans, right, to have more avenues to get rid of Westbrook. That's kind of my initial read on it. I don't know if that necessarily brings us back any players, but I do like that, you know, it doesn't just have to be the Spurs as a dumping ground in a three-team trade.
Yeah, I think that's critical that you've got options out there now. If it does have to be a three-team trade, let's say Brooklyn decides we don't want Russ for whatever reason. Can't imagine why they wouldn't. But if they decide they don't want Russell Westbrook, then you can, in theory, you can now send him to either Indiana or San Antonio. And I think it's important that you've got those options out there. Daniel, if you had to pick between getting Kyrie Irving and getting what Matt just suggested, somehow winding up with Patrick Beverley, Miles Turner, and Buddy Hield, what would be your preferred route there to take?
I still think for me, I'd prefer Kyrie personally. I just think the upside there, we've already seen what him and, you know, LeBron look like with an AD. I think that's probably your easiest path to being a title contender. Like, I like Buddy Hield. He's a good shooter. I think Miles Turner is pretty overrated on this app, I'd say. But I do think, you know, he's the type of guy you'd want next to AD, although I'm honestly pretty fine with the centers the Lakers have right now with Thomas Bryant and Damian Jones, and obviously AD, who plays some five as well. So I think they're fine at center. So I think I'd prefer the Kyrie deal, and I think I'd try to get, you know, as we've talked about so many times, I feel like a Joe Harris or a Seth Curry. I know, you know, the Lakers need shooting, so even just getting Kyrie, I still think they'd need another shooter. So if they could, you know, whether it be a three-team deal, you know, even involving the Pacers, if they could find a way to get Kyrie and one of those other shooters from Brooklyn, I think that would be their best bet.
I ultimately agree with what you're saying there, Daniel. I think that Kyrie probably offers the highest ceiling, but I wouldn't be upset if that's the plan B. If the plan B leads to you getting some nice role players like that that can at least give you the stuff that you need in terms of floor spacing, I wouldn't hate that.
Yeah, if we're being honest here, if the Lakers are finding a way to dump Russell Westbrook contract, like, it's going to be hard for me not to like the deal, if I'm being honest.
That's
jeez.
So Dan, he will take anything for Russell Westbrook. That's basically what we just landed on there. Daniel's good with anything in return for Russell Westbrook, as long as it's Russ going somewhere else.
Yeah, but a nice little, you know, $20 coupon to 7-Eleven so I can get chips and a Slurpee or something. Yeah, that works.
Now, Daniel, I have to ask, because part of what you do at Lakers Nation, it involves the post-game press conferences. How much of that is a factor in you wanting Russell Westbrook somewhere else?
To be honest, it's not a factor at all. I'm not saying that wouldn't be, you know, some upside there for my, you know, daily work life. But at the end of the day, it comes down to how can the Lakers contend? And I don't really view any team with Westbrook on it as a contender. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but he hasn't really shown an ability to buy in. So to me, you know, obviously you would be wanting to get some rotation players in return, ideally, if you can't do a Kyrie. So that's where Indiana kind of lines up. But, I'm good with all those options.
Sean, where do you weigh in on this? What's the best result here for the Lakers? Is it Kyrie or bust at this point? Do what it takes, Rob. Throw in the extra picks. Whatever you have to do in order to get the deal done. Or if there's an alternative option that's now on the table, because, again, the Pacers don't land DeAndre Ayton, are you now, if you're Rob Pelinka, exploring these plan B opportunities where potentially you get a Buddy Hield, Miles Turner, Josh Richardson, if we go over to the San Antonio Spurs? What are your thoughts there?
I'm definitely on the Kyrie Irving trade train. Like Daniel was saying, you know, just gives you the highest upside to win the title and your best chances to win the title. Also, if you want to look at draft compensation, you probably have to give up two draft picks anyway. Well, you definitely have to give up two draft picks if you're sending them to the Pacers for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. Because they definitely don't want Russ. They definitely only want Russ for the contract. I'd rather trade two first round picks for Kyrie Irving as opposed to Miles Turner. Well, Kyrie Irving and Joe Harris probably than Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. But again, it's a good solid plan B backup plan that I don't think needs to be executed yet. Because I think right now Rob is standing pat and, you know, holding his ground. But I do think it'll come to a point, and again, once we get closer and closer to August 4th, I think the breaking point will come where Rob's going to have to, I don't want to use the word fold, because I think he's done a good job, like, not blinking, but I think he's going to blink at some point and give the extra pick and screw it. You give the extra pick to go get Kyrie Irving and Joe Harris, because you're going to probably have to give up two first-round picks anyway in any Indiana Pacers trade. So that's just my thought process there.
That's fair. That's fair. If you're going to have to give up the picks, why not go for the ceiling play and go for somebody that you think can ultimately lead you to an NBA championship? And I think Kyrie is certainly that guy, especially if you get a fully healthy season of him and you get completely locked in, which, I mean, those are questions, right? We're not sure exactly how Kyrie's mindset's going to be, where things are going to be in terms of all the different mandates and things like that. So I still understand, though, that the upside play would be to go with Kyrie Irving. But again, I wouldn't feel bad if the Lakers walked away with this, with these moves. And we had Jeannie Buss say today to Mark Medina that they're not done, that there's more stuff coming. If that more stuff is some combination of Buddy Hield, if it's Eric Gordon, if it's Josh Richardson, if we're talking about Doug McDermott, if it's getting some of these role players that at least fit the skill set the Lakers need. After the way things played out in the 2019-2020 season, I'm going to try to be not too disappointed if that's the path we ultimately wind up going down, because we've seen that be successful before. But again, I understand that a lot of Lakers fans do want to see Kyrie in LA because of, again, having that third star, the upside potential, all the things that we've been talking about here. Interesting thoughts, though. Joining me right now, we're bringing up a guest here, and feel since it's appropriate, since this is the topic, his tagline or title is Kyrie to LA. Oh, he just bounced out.
Oh, no, stage fright.
Oh, no.
I hope that's not a bad omen that Kyrie to LA just bounced out of here.
Kyrie has left the building.
Oh, no. Hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully, he didn't go back to Brooklyn.
Wouldn't be the first time.
That's certainly not ideal. Well, he can try to request again if he comes back in here. You never know with Kyrie, right? Might change day by day. So Kyrie to LA certainly could come back on here. But let's try for Fernando. Fernando, how are you doing?
Hi, guys. First of all, thank you for having me. I was just wondering.
No, thanks for coming on.
Of course. Now that the Pacers thing with Wade happened, do you think there's an avenue for a three-team trade where we get like Kyrie and Buddy Hield, the Nets get like Miles Turner, and like they get to save money, and Westbrook ends up in the Pacers with either THT or none? I was wondering, do you think that is like realistic?
Matt, the optimist, I'm going to hand that over to you, because three-team trades, to get those done, it requires some optimism. What do you think about that?
I mean, you're the salary cap guy. Does that work salary cap-wise?
Yeah, I mean, the key to making it work salary cap-wise is that Pacers would eat some of the salary that the Nets don't want to take on. In this case, it would be Russell Westbrook. So they would use that, whatever it is that they've got now, 30-ish million in cap space. They would accept some sort of payment for using that space by eating some Russ's salary, and then the Nets in such a deal would wind up with a bigger trade exception because they wouldn't have to take on Russell Westbrook.
I mean, yeah, if it works salary cap, I was trying to do the math in my head real quick for the contracts to see it lined up. So thanks for confirming. Yeah, I mean, is it possible? Sure. I think in that scenario, you're probably looking at giving up both firsts, but if the return you're getting is Buddy Hield and Kyrie, I wouldn't hate that. I think most Lakers would be doing backflips. It's both players everyone's been thirsting over these past 2 weeks. So yeah, I think everyone would be pretty on board with that. I would certainly not mind it at all.
Yeah, because I've also heard that. I mean, it's been rumored that the reason they don't want to give up both picks is because they want to save one for a separate transaction. And one of those rumored targets has been Buddy Hield. So I think if they get both of them, I think they'd be more inclined to give up, you know, the additional first.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the best way to look at it. Or, you know, to really look at the deal like that is, you know, you essentially trade one first for Kyrie, you trade the other for Buddy Hield. I think that makes sense. The Lakers did say they were pretty confident they could address the shooting concerns via trade. I think that does that pretty perfectly to a T. I'd be pretty much all for it now that I'm talking about it some more. What do you guys think, Daniel, Sean?
I mean, look, we all know Rob Pelinka loves him some Buddy Hield, so
Cuddy Keel, baby.
So that deal would actually kind of make everyone happy because LeBron gets his guy in Kyrie, so maybe he goes and signs the extension, and then Rob Pelinka gets to be happy because he gets his former client Buddy Hield, who he's been chasing after for 2 years now, however long it's been. So yeah, I mean, that definitely works from the Lakers' perspective. I definitely think that's one of the deals where it's kind of worth it to give up both of those first-round picks. But yeah, I guess it would just be a case of is taking on Russell, is getting, you know, two first-round picks enough for Indiana to take on Russ's contract, which is an expiring deal, so they'd be off it in 1 year. And then Brooklyn, you know, is getting the salary cap relief and also maybe a Miles Turner. Is that enough to get rid of Kyrie? I don't know the answer to that, but I definitely like it from a Lakers perspective, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I think it's a win-win for everyone involved because the Lakers, like you guys said, LeBron gets Kyrie, Pelinka gets Buddy Hield. The Pacers, they get Westbrook's expiring plus picks in tank this season for a top three pick in next year's draft. THT, for example, he's played with Halliburton before in college. They're good friends, actually. So, you know, that would work. And the Nets, they get Miles Turner, who fills a need for them at the center position, and they get to save money with a traded player exception instead of having to take on Russ. So I think it's a win-win-win for everyone involved.
The Michael Scott win-win-win. Yes.
I do wonder if for the Pacers, from their perspective, if they would want more than just two firsts and THT. And if the Nets probably want to, like, you may not have enough if Miles Turner is involved in the deal there, and the Pacers are eating up cap space to satisfy everybody. Because most likely, if you get a third team involved, like, let's say it was the Spurs. The Spurs would want a first. The Nets would want a first. So there goes both of your firsts, right? Is that enough for the Pacers in this scenario? Because both sides, the Nets are probably going to want a first too. I don't know. True. You may run out of first-round picks in order to get something like that done. But I think it's an interesting idea. The basic idea of Pacers absorbing salary, Nets getting a trade exception out of it. Maybe they can add some pieces. And then the Lakers moving off of Russell Westbrook, landing with Kyrie. That's the basic idea behind any kind of three-team trade featuring either Pacers or the Spurs.
Yeah, well, one final thing I wanted to add. Because like you said, the Nets would definitely want a first. The Pacers would want a first as well. I don't know if the Pacers would get both first. Because, I mean, who else is like bidding against us in this scenario for like Miles Turner? It doesn't seem like his market is that good right now. So maybe if we do like a first and a couple of seconds for one or the other. I mean, again, that would be a negotiation, which would, of course, be complicated. But I'm just, you know, I'm not too sure if we would need to give the Pacers both first.
Yeah, that would be the key, would be how do you figure out one way to limit it to two first so that you can get it done. That would be the challenge in a deal like that. But I like that, and I think that's something that the Lakers certainly need to explore, particularly if, and this isn't necessarily what we've heard, but if the sticking point is still the Nets don't want Russell Westbrook, which was a sticking point prior to Kevin Durant's trade request. If that's the case, then maybe looping in a third team becomes a necessity.
Yes, I agree.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming out here and joining us. Appreciate it.
No, thank you guys for having me. Really appreciate it.
All right. So, guys, we'll bring up some more guests here as we go, but I do want to mention we are, I don't know if you guys saw this today, but Jovan Buha of The Athletic had a piece all about our guy Austin Reeves, HBK. We are on early muscle watch. According to Jovan, yeah,
15 pounds of muscle.
That's right. It's early. How soon is the drug test coming?
Oh, man, it's coming soon. That's training camp bingo stuff, man.
That's right. That was Alex Caruso. Somebody put out that Photoshop picture of Caruso, and he looked like Captain America after he got the super soldier serum. And next thing you know, the NBA randomly shows up to drug test him, and it was a Photoshop picture. I have a feeling if he's really put on 15 pounds of muscle, Austin Reeves is going to get a visit too.
Oh, most definitely. He just needs to post a shirtless photo like AC did, and yeah, we're getting drug tests for sure.
Matt, how much do you think that can help his game? Let's say he's legit put on 15 pounds of muscle, what are you expecting to see out of Austin Reeves with that?
Oh, definitely a lot of both sides of the ball he's going to improve, I think. Offensively, I think getting to the rim will be a lot better. He'll be able to absorb contact, finish through that on drives. I really like that. Won't get bumped off his spots either. Defensively, same kind of deal. I think he'll hold up more in the post, the mid-range area. I know, you know, last season, a lot of teams tried to target him there. I think he held up pretty decently, but against bigger players, bigger wings especially, he struggled. So I think adding that muscle will help him put up some more resistance there. So, I think it's just going to help. It's not an AD situation, right, where he bulked up too much and suddenly got slower. For perimeter players like Austin to fill out their frame a little bit and put on more muscle, it's only going to help him for sure.
Sean, we've been breaking down rosters for a while now. Is Austin Reeves a starter if the season were to start tomorrow?
No, yeah, absolutely. Even without putting on the 15 extra pounds, I think. It was 15, right?
It was about that. I think he said he went from, I want to say it was like 13 pounds or something.
Okay.
No, let's
put it close enough.
Pretty close enough. Without putting the muscle on, I think he was a starter because you look at the list, like right now it's Russ. Okay. Austin Reeves is starting over Lonnie Walker because of the defensive ability. Kendrick Nunn, I like better as a backup point guard, THT pass. So I thought he was starting regardless, and now you add in this, and this stuff he's been working on shooting-wise, which I also think was reported in that article as well, which we've kind of been assuming he was really working on that jumper. And, yeah, he has the potential to be one of the better 3-and-D role players in the entire NBA, putting on the muscle, like Matt said, be able to guard bigger wings, down low in the post a little bit too now as well. We know what he can do guarding point guards, ones and twos, but now his ability to guard some bigger wings is going to be huge for the Lakers next year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be critical, particularly because they need as many two-way players as they can get. If he can get his shot up to 35% from three, which we're just talking about league average, 35-36, typically floats right in there, percent from behind the arc, that goes a long way. And then you combine that with his defensive capabilities, if he has put on that muscle. I'm looking now at the article. He went from 197 to 209 pounds. So we're talking about 12 pounds there of muscle. He'll probably be at 15 before we know it, though, especially if he's got that super soldier serum in him. Josh joining us. Josh, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Good, good. How are you? How are you? What are you thinking about the Lakers right now?
Well, I came in and you guys are talking about, Buddy Hield or Joe Harris or Seth Curry. And that's all great. I would love that. I'm all about getting Kyrie. But recently I've been thinking, if we giving up two first round picks, shouldn't we be able to get two shooters to go with Kyrie, or am I just being super greedy here? And I would be totally fine if we just get one shooter with Kyrie, but I feel like if we giving up two first round picks, can we get another shooter with Joe Harris or with Seth Curry or at least perimeter defender? Give us Royce O'Neal or something, you know?
So you're saying you got to get both?
We don't have to, but my whole thing is, like, we really, really need shooting. So if you just add Joe Harris, who I'm not even sure you can rely on, or if you just had Buddy Hield, does that really help our?
You know, it's funny. I'm actually of the same mindset, Trevor. I am.
Okay, go on.
Well, it's just because, like, I know everyone's been talking about Joe Harris as a, you throw the first round pick in there and you kind of you throw in two first, right? One for Kyrie, one for Joe Harris. But are we really sure Joe Harris is a positive asset right now? That's kind of like the mindset really is. He's coming off two ankle surgeries. I'm not even too sure if he's going to be ready for training camp. If he is ready, how does he look coming off the injury, not really playing for most of this past year? So if I'm the Lakers and I'm offering both first, I want Joe Harris because I'm saving you money by taking on that money, to taking on his contract because it's an extra year after next year. And I want Seth Curry too. So if I'm Rob, that's how I'm bargaining it. That's what I want to deal if I'm going to give you all that draft equity.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I think that if you're the Lakers and you look at this, if you give up both firsts, you have to be pretty certain that the team you've got at that point is ready to go get you where you want to go, right? Because if you have no more first now to play with, if you give up both of those, there's nothing else you can do with picks in order to improve your roster. You've got to be pretty confident you've got all the firepower that you need, and that might require Seth and Joe Harris. Now, but let me ask, would in such a scenario, would you be okay with including Kendrick Nunn and or Talen Horton Tucker in order to maybe balance things out a little bit. Now, I don't know how much value the Nets prescribed to those guys, but would you be okay with putting those guys in if the Nets are saying, well, hey, if we're giving up both of these guys, we need to get a young player with some upside. We need to get a good backup point guard on an expiring contract. Would that be a deal on your end?
No, without a doubt. Like, we can drive those guys to the airport if that's what's needed.
I will drive in LA traffic to LAX. If you know, if you've been to the airport there, you know how hard it is. So.
But before I get out of here, I just want to say I appreciate the Austin Reeves love. Like, he was like one of the few, other than LeBron being a mutant again at, what is he, 37, 38. Austin Reeves was like the best thing to watch other than LeBron. So him adding weight and bulking up, I'm super excited to see him. And I'm very excited.
Same. And appreciate you coming on here. I'm excited about Austin Reeves and seeing what he can do, especially after all the stuff that I've been hearing about him. There's going to be, I think, some reason to keep an eye on Austin Reeves this year for sure. But Josh, thank you so much for coming on here. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'll give my thoughts on what you guys were just talking about, because I'd say I agree. I think if you're giving up two firsts, obviously you want to have kind of a set team that you think can compete for a championship. But I also think when you're trying to unload Russ's contract here, that in itself is worth a first. And then if you're, you know, tacking on another shooter with a Kyrie, let's say, that's probably two firsts. So then I guess the question becomes, what is THT value? Like you guys were saying, like, can you turn around and flip THT and, you know, a second or two or something and get, you know, maybe a Patrick Beverley or someone else who could be a shooter as well? Because if you look at the roster now, that's pretty much the one thing they're lacking. There's no shooters there. And if you're bringing in Kyrie, he could shoot the ball. He could space the floor. If you know, if you're getting, let's say, a Buddy Hield or a Joe Harris with him, that's two guys. I agree with what was, you know, everyone else was saying. I think they would need probably one more shooter after that to really, you know, to complete the roster to where they're competing for a championship.
If they got that, you're piling all those guys into your car. THT, Kendrick Nunn, Russell Westbrook is going to sit shotgun for you.
That's perfect. Russ has got the music. Yeah, and some of the younger, I got a third row of seats, so some of the, whoever the youngest guys are, they can get in the third row. So yeah, we got room for the luggage, so we'll get everyone in there and we'll send them.
The Daniel Starkan's car service taking all these guys to LA.
I'll open their doors for them.
I will carry their luggage.
All right, so we know where Daniel stands. He is willing to go to extremes, and this is the guy who was fairly particular about his flight out to Vegas in terms of what time his flight was going. Sean's flying out at 6 a.m. and Daniel's saying, no, I'm not doing any of that stuff.
Yeah,
I'm getting my own tickets.
I've done that before, so I guess when you've done it a couple times, you become a veteran, and you know, let's book the 1 o'clock flight out of there, so we're not in a rush.
Fair enough. I was a rookie. I'll learn.
It's okay. Next year.
That's right. We've got Siobhan coming on here and joining us. Looks like it's connecting there, but we'll see if it's going through. Siobhan, how are you doing? What are you thinking about these Lakers?
I'm doing good. Thank you. My thoughts on these Lakers are, I like the offseason so far, starting with the coach, starting with free agency. You know, I didn't mind them giving Lonnie Walker the mid-level exception, because I'm like, teams were probably were offering more than a mid-level exception to Lonnie Walker, because there was like a ton of suitors for him. But I'm happy that we got him at the end of the day. I thought that was a steal. But I think overall, at this roster, you see, like you guys said, they need shooting. I think everybody said it, they need Kyrie Irving. Like, they need Kyrie. You put Kyrie on this team, when healthy, when LeBron and AD, who beating them? I don't see no team beating them. But, like, let's just say, well, if you got Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, they're still a championship contending team, but it's not like Kyrie, you know? Like, they're going to be a good team, but I don't see them getting beat. And also with, like, the Pacers talking about, I think they want 2 first-round picks for Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. I think they're going to say, well, go take Russ's contract, but if you want Miles Turner, we would want 2 first-round picks and Buddy Hield. So, but I have, like, a trade package where I think it makes sense for every team. It's a 3-team trade. Lakers get Kyrie and Buddy Hield. The Nets get their guy, Miles Turner, and they get the Lakers first round pick, and they get Kendrick Nunn. The Pacers get Russell Westbrook and a first round pick and a second round pick.
I'm wondering if that's if Miles Turner's going out again. That's my concern, is how much they want for Miles Turner. What does that, you know, what does that look like? Do we know that the Nets want Miles Turner? I mean, they just signed Nick Claxton to a big deal. He's their center. So what's going to happen there? But in general, yeah, I like that idea. I like the deal. If you can find a way to get it done, I think if you can get both Buddy Hield and you land Kyrie, that's if it's, look, for me, if it's Buddy Hield, if it's Joe Harris, if it's Seth Curry, and look, there's questions about the medicals with Joe Harris. I would assume if they did for him, they feel pretty good about it. Even if it's Eric Gordon, you're looking for pretty much the same thing with all of these players. So if you're getting any one of those guys, that's fine. The preference, though, would be to get both of them.
For me,
if it is that you're giving them both.
For me, as long as they get Kyrie, I'm fine with whoever else they get. As long as they get Kyrie, I'm fine with it. Because if they get Kyrie, for me, it's a W all season. You know, for me, if they don't get Kyrie, first of all, I don't think they're bringing Russ back. It makes no sense for you to bring Russell Westbrook back. You know, I don't think they're bringing Russ back. It just will look so stupid and, like, so weird if Russ comes back, which I'll give it, like, a 0%. I think they need to go.
Zero?
Well, you think Russ is going to come back?
I didn't say it was coming back. Not zero. I'm not going to say 0% chance back, though.
Because it's kind of going to be weird if he comes back. You know, but I think right now their plan is getting Kyrie. You know, I think, you know, like August 4th, if this goes to August 4th, which you said, like, the Nets are hoping for, which I think everybody knows the Nets are hoping for, is LeBron's extension August 4th, then I don't, you know what I'm saying? So if I'm like Rob, I'm trying to get this done before August 4th. You know, I'm trying to get this done before August 4th because I don't want to get. Because if you go to August 4th, because we don't know, Clutch and LeBron want Kyrie. Like, we saw they want Kyrie.
Yeah. Right, yeah, they certainly do. But if you're the Nets, though, then you're stalling to try to get closer to August 4th, put that pressure on. I mean, they're the ones that ultimately have to pull the trigger, and they're figuring out the Kevin Durant situation as well. But yeah, if you're Rob Pelinka, you would prefer to get this done sooner rather than later, and hopefully that is ultimately what happens. This is, at this point, whenever this goes down, like, we were on pins and needles for a while there, for a week plus. At this point, it's going to be like the DeAndre Ayton thing. It's going to be kind of that surprise out of nowhere. We're going to get the Woj bomb that the talks have intensified, or maybe even that a deal is done. Because we don't know how long this is going to take to ultimately pull this thing off or not. So we could be talking about this a month from now. It could be done in 5 minutes. And we just have no idea where this is ultimately going to end up. That's going to be the crazy part about this. As much as we look at August 4th as maybe a deadline or a point where there's more urgency, it seems like both of these sides are so dug in that, like I've been saying, it's going to take something changing in the status quo. Maybe it's that DeAndre Ayton decision. Maybe that breaks something loose, but it's going to take something changing in order for this to ultimately happen.
Yeah.
I got a question to pose here, and it's because we talk about how, the Nets want to are dealing with KD first. So the Lakers getting Kyrie kind of hinges on if the Nets are even trading KD. Like, a lot of the buzz recently has kind of been that they're trying to convince him to stay and they're not getting the offers they want and so forth. So, my question would be, is there something that the Lakers could offer the Nets now, or a trade that they could put together to get Kyrie before a KD deal happens, or is it totally 100% contingent on the Nets dealing KD?
I think, in my opinion, I think this is a thing. The Nets want two first-round picks. I think Kyrie would have been a Laker now if the Lakers offered two first-round picks and Russell Westbrook.
So would that mean that the Nets are 100% trading KD after that, though, or would they still be trying to convince him to stay, saying we're going to use these picks and assets to offload or buy out Russ or whatever? Because KD's not playing with Russ, I'll tell you that.
Right, I think now. The owner wants both of them gone.
I mean, that makes sense for sure, but I just think until the KD stuff gets resolved, I don't even know if they're going to even accept two first round picks from the Lakers, because I know definitely Cy wants Kyrie out the door, but if that's what it takes to get KD to stay, I could see Marks trying to exhaust all options before accepting a below market offer for KD.
Yeah, I could certainly see that either way. I mean, Jovan put out there the other day that, look, he thinks that if the Lakers offered up both first, the deal's just done. I don't know. Like, I could see where the Nets will think, well, you know what, whatever the Lakers offer is right now, it's not going to change between now and August, September. It's only going to get better if we can get more pressure on them. So it's possible that they're just not prepared to make a deal yet. But I'd agree with that. If there is something where Sean Marks says, I will do this deal now if this is the offer, you've got to listen and you've got to consider getting it done, just because if you're the Lakers, what happens if you don't get a deal done and you roll into the season with Russell Westbrook, and does LeBron sign an extension, and do you feel like you can actually win with Russell Westbrook at the helm? And I'm not saying that Kyrie Irving equals instant championship, but you feel like you have a better shot. And that's what Jeannie Buss was talking about today, about saying they're not done because they want to make sure that they've given themselves the best chance possible. And that, to me, I think is making this Kyrie deal happen. So if there's a way to get it done, you've got to explore it. You got to explore it. But Siobhan, thanks so much for coming on here and joining us. Yeah, I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Shout out to the Laker Nation podcast. Shout out to you. Great podcast, bro.
Hey, thank you. Thank you very much. Very much appreciated. All right, guys, I want to ask this to you because he said something. Siobhan said something, and this has been kind of bouncing around in my brain for a few days because I've seen this sentiment from Lakers fans lately. This idea that LeBron, Kyrie, Anthony Davis, who's beating them four times in a seven-game series? And I'll be honest, when it's me, I feel a little bit uneasy about that line of thinking. Maybe it's because we got hurt so bad last season. I think that wound is still fresh, and it reminds me of what the sentiment was heading into last season. That, look, LeBron, Russell Westbrook, AD, they'll figure it out. They'll figure out a way, and ultimately, who's going to beat those guys? Do any of you share that, or do you feel that you put those three guys together, indeed, nobody's beaten them in a seven-game series? How do you guys feel about that?
I'd say, the first thing is, all three of those guys have their own separate injury issues, so can they make it through a full season? We'll see, but let's say they do, and if they are, if they are all healthy, I think the basketball fit with Kyrie is obviously, 100 times better than it is with Russ. I think we've seen LeBron and Kyrie work together. That worked out pretty well. And then you add, a defensive force like Anthony Davis, who's also great offensively as well. I think I'd take my chances against anyone. Obviously, I think there's other good teams out there. But I'd certainly would take my chance with those three guys, if they're healthy and you at least have some competent, role players around them, some guys who could defend, knock down an open shot every now and then. I'd take my chances.
I definitely understand why, like, Lakers fans, why Trevor are a little cautious. Either if we get Kyrie Irving, I won't use the F word favorites. I won't use that after last season. I do think we got burned last year, but I definitely understand why fans think, hey man, Kyrie, LeBron, AD, if they're all healthy, you got the role players, Austin Reeves, I like Stanley Johnson, some of the other guys we have, then yeah, you could talk yourself into saying like, hey, this is one of the best teams in the West. Well, I think you could say that already, but when you're talking about beating like Golden State, the Clippers, Memphis, maybe even Denver in a playoff series, then get a little bit more comfortable with that. But the biggest thing is health, and can Anthony Davis get a big role and able to strive while having that role? Because I think he's going to get the quote-unquote Giannis role, the offense next year. So it's just about him being able to handle that load offensively and being able to stay healthy.
Let's see. I think I shared the same sentiment as Trevor. I'm like cautiously optimistic that the Lakers would be really good in any series. I think for me, it really just depends on how else does this roster look like outside of Kyrie. What other moves do the Lakers have after a trade? Is there any move after a Kyrie trade? I mean, I love the big three fit, like what Daniel was saying. I love Kyrie, LeBron, and AD together on the floor. I'm really high on Austin Reeves next season. But keep going down the depth chart a little bit. Who are you, like, your 7-8 guys that you really trust in a playoff series? You probably figure that out over the course of the regular season, but as of today, and I guess I'll pose this question to you guys. Who are like the other 3 or 4 guys you trust to play 20-25 minutes in a playoff series on the roster as of right now?
Besides, well, LeBron, Kyrie, and AD as of right now?
Hypothetically in this scenario, yeah.
Reeves, none. Well, crap, you probably have to trade none. Reeves, Stanley for 20, maybe?
Keep you going.
Joe Harris. What's that, 6, 7? One of the bigs. I don't know, pick your poison.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I don't know necessarily if JTA would be playable in every single series, but I think there would be some matchups against bigger wings where he would be useful.
Yeah.
Right, but I think this is kind of where I got stuck too. Like, you kind of have to talk yourself into a few guys, right?
I also think what they'd probably be banking on is getting a buyout guy or two if things are going sure. well throughout this season. Because obviously they wouldn't really have any assets to make a trade at the deadline necessarily. So maybe there's a buyout guy or two.
I got one for you, Matt. Max Christie, baby. Let's go.
Cole Swider.
Amazing Swider, man.
I love Max, but Sean's hanging him out to dry next season, man. I'm telling you right now. if Max doesn't play 12 minutes off on opening night, man, fans gonna be coming for your head, dude.
Send them my way.
Here's the thing with the Lakers roster. When you say who are the 6, 7, 8 guys, whatever that you rely upon, the Lakers focused on finding young guys. So that's part of the hesitation here and why you don't feel comfortable picking any particular guy, because we're going to have to see over the course of the season who fits and who really pops. I mean, Troy Brown Jr., right? He's, what, 22 years old. Lonnie Walker's 23. You're bringing in younger players, so they don't have that history where you know exactly what they're going to bring to the team. You know, if you go get – like if the Lakers got Otto Porter Jr., right? He's 29. You know what he does. You know what he's going to bring if he's healthy. And so you're going to feel pretty good picking him. But until we get into the season and we see how a guy like Lonnie Walker clicks, a guy like Troy Brown Jr. clicks, they're going to have that mystery behind them because they don't have that equity built up of a long NBA career. So that's part of that. It's, again, you've got some guys who are just unproven, not necessarily not talent. So I think that's part of the hesitation there. But I did bring in KB Brown. KB, how are you doing? What's your thoughts on all this?
Well, I mean, after the last season, you can see my profile picture, which is just instant pain. So
the crying
yeah,
order.
Yeah, instant pain. Shub, that was the just shout out to Shub and everybody in Laker Nation as well. But that Spaces last night was legendary. I'm sorry. But
I'm still recovering.
Oh my god, I couldn't stop laughing at that. I had to replay that rant that he did to Trevor last night, like consistently. I sent it to all my buddies. Hilarious. Yeah, it was hilarious, man.
All time great rant.
Oh my god, yes.
I thought it was Stephen A. Smith. Oh my man. No,
like I did better than like Stephen A. Smith. First couple
that was
minutes,
better though. Than Stephen A. Smith. He just put everything on the line. But honestly, just going on with what we're gonna do with the Lakers, I mean. It kind of sounds like we're holding we're playing like the, you know, the waiting game with Kyrie, but I really don't think the Lakers are going to hold it for that much longer, to be honest, because Rob Pelinka can't have another failed season. He just can't. So I think we're going to give up those two picks. I do think that we're probably going to end up adding a shooter if that's not adding Seth Curry or Joe Harris. I really want Buddy Hield, but I mean, I'm not dying for him. So other than that, I think we get the Kyrie Irving thing done by next week, to be honest, or in the next couple of days. I'm confident in that. I just really would like this to hurry up because, like I told Shav, like in the last of his spaces, I mean, if I was holding my breath, I'd be dead by now. So this is killing me.
A lot of people.
Yeah, this is killing me.
What is it that's giving you that optimism that it's going to happen within the next week or so?
Well, what happened with DeAndre Ayton, I think that kind of shut down the Durant getting traded to the Suns. I think that's done because, I mean, everybody's going to ask for like an arm and a leg. Like, if it's not Malachi Bridges and what's his name? Cameron Johnson. Multiple picks. It's gonna have to be a multi, like a five-team trade, if I'm thinking as of right now. But I really thought that Durant was gonna go to the Raptors. That's what I was thinking, because they have more young stars. To be honest, after now,
send him to Toronto, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, I think it's gonna
get
happen.
It done. Decide.
I think it's gonna happen just because they have so many young stars. And Toronto can really use another. I mean, when they got Kawhi, I didn't know they were going to make it all the way like that. But if they get KD and you put Otto Porter Jr. with them, I think it might be some good.
That's an interesting idea. I do like the Raptors. I saw a lot of people having that sentiment online about the Raptors now being the favorites to get Kevin Durant, and that makes sense. And I think you're right, too, about the Suns. Like, Suns, I don't think they're out of it, but a big part of their offer was going to be taking DeAndre Ayton and either sending him to the Nets, or if the Nets didn't want Ayton, it was going to be sending him somewhere else and using the stuff they got from that to give to the Nets and that kind of a deal. So I think this damages the Suns' ability to get Kevin Durant, which, look, I mean, we're talking Pacific Division, we're talking Western Conference. I'm not going to cry over that, that's for sure, if the Suns aren't getting Kevin Durant. And if he does wind up going up north to Toronto, that's fine. Keep him – stay east, KD. Stay in the Eastern Conference,
exactly,
please.
Exactly. I'd rather have him stay in the east than come to the west. But I just – the thing that really got on my nerves is, I mean, for all the Warriors stands and bandwagon fans out there, that he was going to go back to Golden State. I was like, yeah, that would be perfect. Run back to Curry after they won a championship. So
that's probably the easiest way to – further damage his legacy, but we're not here to talk about that, I guess.
Nah.
KD was talking about it on Twitter the other day.
Oh, was he?
Oh, boy.
Asking people what they did to add to their legacy.
Oh, God. Let's not talk about legacy when it comes to KD. I can't. After he went to the Warriors, I'm like, you know what? I don't think I can. I mean, I respect his game, but yeah, I can't put him up there with the greats. I can't. After what he did, I can't do it.
I think KD can fix his legacy by coming to the Lakers, but that's just my opinion.
No, but hold on.
No, absolutely,
if KD came to the Lakers, we'd have to put AD up for a trade? We'd have to?
I think everyone if that was hypothetically in here, or we all do it.
I know. I would definitely take KD over AD any given day, but I'm just wondering what Rob's going to do as of right now. If we're being realistic, I really don't know what Rob's going to do, and it kind of feels like after last season, he can't afford to fumble the bag again. So,
well, I agree. And KB, thank you so much for coming up here. I appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Guys, what do you guys think about that? KB just threw that out there. Like, Rob Pelinka, how much is riding on him to fix this season? Like, if the Lakers, let's say the Lakers are the 9 seed, they're a play-in seed going into the playoffs, and are out in the first round with whatever they've got. Is Rob Pelinka still the GM of this team next season, the season after next, I should say, depending on how you want to look at it?
No.
If we're a 9 seed and we miss the playoffs again, absolutely not.
Yeah.
There's no need for an in-depth answer there. He's gone.
Yeah, I think context matters, but I also think, yeah, after this season they just had, if they have another, you know, embarrassing type season like that, or I think they need to at least, you know, make the playoffs, and if they're healthy, make some noise. He can keep his job, but if there's another disaster type season, yeah, I don't see how, in any way, shape, or form, they could bring him back.
That's a great question, actually. How does the Lakers season need to finish for Rob to keep his job next season, or after next season, I should say?
Oh, that is a good question, Daniel. What do you think? What's the minimum? Like, what's the bar that Rob Pelinka has to clear in order to continue to be the team's GM?
It's tough to say, just because so much of it rides on health. Like, let's say the Lakers wind up having a good regular season. They're like, let's say they're the 4 or 5 seed, but then either LeBron or AD or someone goes down and then they're out in the first round. I think there would be a case to be made for him to keep his job in a scenario like that. But let's say everyone stays healthy, then I would think they need to, you know, at least get to the second round conference finals, make some noise, be in the mix there, or else he's gone.
I think I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree.
And honestly, the toughest thing to like predict with this Lakers team is, like, I don't really see if they're healthy. I think they'll go far if they make the playoffs. It's more of a case of if they're gonna make the playoffs, because once they get to like that 7-game series, if you got a healthy LeBron and AD, and with Darvin Ham, I honestly would trust them to, you know, to kind of figure it out in a 7-game series. LeBron has been in so many of those before. And no one's smarter than him when it comes to that. But it's just the case of, can they make it through an 82-game season and make the playoffs, which is kind of strange, but yeah.
All right, so let me throw this at you guys then. Let's say that Russell Westbrook's on the team to start the season.
Groan. Everyone just groaned, Trevor.
Right? I know. That's a bad place to start. But let's say he's on the team to start the season, and they don't move him until the trade deadline. Trade deadline, something pops up, whatever it is. Some team's looking for an expiring contract and they find a move. Can they tread water between now and the trade deadline? Because I think, look, if this Kyrie thing falls apart, realistically, this is what we're going to be staring down. Can the Lakers tread water between now and the trade deadline and then find something there that is a better fit and allows them to excel? With the roster they have right now, can they stay afloat with Russ on the roster until February?
I'm not gonna lie, man. The gut doesn't feel good about it. Are you promising to be good health at least?
Yeah, let's say guys are 85% healthy, meaning they play in 85% of the games.
I think on it. This is like just gut check. I feel like they're probably a 500 team if the roster stays exactly the same as it is today. I think LeBron and AD, if I get 85% both of those guys, pretty damn good place to start. I feel like they can figure it out and win games. But
okay, take that a step further. Where is a 500 team in the West next season?
I'm gonna probably tell you probably play in range. I'd say 7 through 10. I mean, I know that's like not really a great answer, but that would be like my guess.
And no, I think you're right. I think you're right. So now if you're Rob Pelinka, can you allow that future to play out? Right? I mean, I'm thinking Doctor Strange here, where he's looking ahead to the future. and he sees all the different possible outcomes and he finds the one where they actually beat Thanos, is this an eventuality that you can allow to play out, or is this something where you've got to do something different in order to make sure that this is not the path that you head down? Because being 500 in the West at the trade deadline is not going to be enough.
I would assume he would get through the trade, or he would kind of look at it as, you know, he has until the trade deadline to make those moves, because even if you are 500 and in like the 7, 8, 9 range, that's still in a spot where if you could find a trade for Russ and make, you know, a decent move where you could bring in some rotation type players, that you could kind of make your run from there as long as you're healthy. So I would assume he's kind of looking at it as he has, not between now and training camp necessarily, but between now and the trade deadline. But the thing with that is, like, what is the state of LeBron and Russ's relationship, right? Like, we just saw them at Summer League, didn't say a single word to each other, sat on opposite ends of the gym. Obviously, I would assume Russ is seeing all these trade rumors and his name in pretty much every single one of them. So can that relationship get to a point where they could play basketball together again? I don't know. That's kind of interesting.
That's right. Daniel, you were right there next to me. We were 10 feet behind LeBron.
Yeah.
Super awkward. We talked about this last night a little bit, about how, like, the takeaway I had was that it was very obvious that everyone other than Russ was coming over and saying hi to LeBron. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, every single Lakers player that was there came over at halftime and you know, dapped up LeBron, said hi to him. Even Rob Pelinka and Darvin Ham and Karambis at one point came over and said hi to LeBron. And, you know, Russ was on the complete opposite, you know, other side of the gym next to the Lakers bench. And he, you know, he dipped out at halftime. No one even really noticed he was gone. And then he was just, you know, out of there. So, you know, to me, if guys are friends or at least have some sort of relationship, like, and you know they're going to be at the game, I wouldn't even have thought much of it if they didn't sit together. But the fact that they didn't even say hello to each other, like, that was pretty notable for me. It just kind of made it really awkward. Like, you know, you got some fans in the corner chanting, "We want Kyrie." You got Rob Pelinka on the broadcast saying they're still looking for ways to upgrade the roster. So, yeah, it was just kind of awkward overall. And I think Russ kind of sensed it. That would have been why he left at halftime.
Matt, Sean, what do you guys think? What, like, can Rob really put those guys together? Like, that there's going to be some challenges. As much as the Lakers have said, and Rob said, right, we're going to open them – we're going to have open arms. We're going to welcome Russell Westbrook back when he picks up his player option. Everyone knows they're trying to trade him. LeBron obviously is okay with that, very much, maybe even pushing for that. Can the Lakers walk that back enough if Russ is on this roster next season?
No. First off, like Daniel was saying, you have to worry about how damaged is the relationship between LeBron and Russell Westbrook. Two, this roster is not optimal for a player like Russell Westbrook. What do we mean by that is, you know, with Russ, he's not a good shooter himself, right? So to optimize his Russ offensive potential, you need guys that can space the floor and shoot. And Trevor, right now, the best shooter is, what, LeBron right now? Well, Kendrick Nunn, maybe, if you're going by
Cole
percentages.
Cole Swider, baby.
Cole Swider, I guess. But
the amazing Swider man.
There we go. He needs to be an actor in the next Spider-Man movie. But the guys on the floor you would be surrounding him with are not capable shooters to really help expand Russ's offensive capabilities. But if you get Kyrie Irving, for example, who is a floor spacer himself and just doesn't need, like, it doesn't matter if you have 5 or 4 floor spacers and just him, or guys that can't shoot at all, he's so good creating separation, finding ways to hit jumpers, it doesn't really matter anyway. So the roster doesn't make sense for us, and you have to worry about the relationship between him and LeBron. And then I always go back to that Jeannie Buss interview with LA Time a couple months ago, and something about that, she knows you can't redo last season. You know you can't bring Russ back to run it back with LeBron and Anthony Davis. It never really worked in the first place. This isn't like the 2020-21 season where it's just injuries. You're like, everybody's saying run it back except Trez. We saw a significant sample size of, okay, crap, this team's healthy, we're a title contender. We saw four games last year with last year's roster where you're like, okay, this team's a playoff team. So you can't run back that raw. You can't run it back with Russ. If it's not there, and the relationships might be damaged.
Matt, where do you stand on that? What do you think?
I think Daniel and Sean pretty much nailed it on the head. I mean, the only thing I'd really want to add to that is just the fan experience at Crypto.com Arena. I'm going to still call it Staples, but I just wanted to be correct. It's terrible, man. Like, watching the games is such a slog, and having the whole crowd boo the team and boo Russ specifically every night was it just didn't make watching the game very enjoyable at all. Not to mention the fact that they were losing, but you know, it just doesn't create a good vibe, a good team environment, a good fan experience. And so I think for a lot of people in the spaces, me included, we want to watch a team we can happily root for and not be so distracted with all the on court and off court stuff with Russ. So I don't think they can bring him back personally. And then here's a question I wanted to ask you guys. Who would dread bringing back their point guard more, Kyrie in the Nets or Russ in the Lakers?
Oh, that is a good question. That is a good question. I mean, I'm probably too close to it, but I feel like it might be Russ and the Lakers, because at least with Kyrie, you can say, well, hey, we're going to keep you. We're going to keep KD. We've got a championship team here ready to roll. Let's go contend in the Eastern Conference. And there's going to be some headaches, but with Russ, like, you've got everything, like you said, everything going on with fans and all that. Like, I don't even think, as much as we talk about this from a Lakers perspective, from Russ's perspective, the ideal situation is probably not playing for the Lakers next season. I think maybe the Lakers are, if the Nets keep the status quo, they might be okay. I feel like if the Lakers do, we pretty much know what that looks like.
I just want to say I agree with that.
Jordan to the point.
Yeah.
Daniel's made his stance very well known.
Daniel is driving Russell Westbrook to the airport.
I will give us a little credit. I think he's kind of handled this summer as well as he could have, considering the circumstances. So he's being professional, at least. Like, I think that's kind of where the one thing he's more of a positive than Kyrie, I'd say. But anything involving on-court basketball, I think you're in a better position with Kyrie than you are with Russ, no matter what the other circumstances are.
And here's what people don't understand often with that. Right, people think that the Lakers fans just want to hate on Russell Westbrook, just want to put all the blame on him. That's not the case. We've been saying for a long time now that if you look at the last season and you look at what the cause of all the misery was, I've called it many, many times, the worst season in Lakers history. If you point at Russell Westbrook and say that one player is the cause of all of it, and without him, the season would have been fine, that's not correct. There's so many things went wrong that were not Russell Westbrook. That was just probably the loudest thing that went wrong, and also because of what you had to trade away in order to get him. But there were a lot of other things that happened during that Lakers season. The best story that we could have told was Russ being successful with the Lakers. Not only is that fun, not only is that exciting, but just the hometown guy coming back and all that. I don't want to be negative about Russell Westbrook. I want to be positive. I want to be able to tell that story, to tell the story of Russell Westbrook comes back to L.A. and the Lakers win a championship and the hometown guy gets it done and the crowd loves him and they're chanting his name and he's providing the energy and all of that. That's the story we hope to tell this past season. And unfortunately, we didn't get to see that. And it breaks my heart. There is no part of me that wants to be negative about Russell Westbrook or wants to say, oh, let's just get rid of this guy. But the reality is, from what we saw last season, we have nothing to leave. There was no moment last season where we said, oh, you know what? This could work. We didn't get even a glimpse of that. And so, unfortunately, this is where we're at now.
Trevor, you're a hater. Don't you dare say anything negative about Russell Westbrook ever.
I was going to just chime in and say, worst case scenario, we don't get the Kyrie deal done and we have to end the season with Russ. if the Lakers end up winning and he's good, I think we'd all welcome it. It's just there's not a lot of confidence that's going to happen. But if it did, awesome. I think the only thing we really care about is the Lakers winning and winning titles. If that includes Russ, great. But it's very much got to see it to believe it. And honestly, I don't really want to gamble on that.
Yep. I agree 100%. 100%. Definitely agree with that. All right, guys. Why don't we wrap things up there? We're not going to go till, you know, whatever time in the morning or anything like that. But guys, Sean, Matt, Daniel, thanks for hopping on here and chatting some Lakers and talking about all this, because this is going to be a busy offseason. Still, I think there's more stuff coming. It's just a matter of when and what that's actually going to look like. But thank you guys all for coming on here. Always fun when we can get Lakers Nation together.
Absolutely fun time chatting Lakers, and hopefully there's some more tangible news to talk about in the near future. That'd be nice.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Trevor. I'm a huge fan of Lakers Nation and the podcast. It's been a real honor to sit up here and talk with you guys. Huge fan.
Matt, I never got my autograph from you. Man, that's brutal.
I never got my autograph from you, bro. You're the popular one. You're in all these spaces. I see it. Every time I log into Twitter, it's always a Sean Davis in the spaces, dude. like every hour of night, dude.
We may need to talk about that. Sean, how do you do that?
Sean's got a problem, dude.
Do you talk in all of them? What did you say, Trev?
Do you talk in all of them?
I talk in a good decent. Some of them I just listen to. You know, just listen.
Sean
to...
just lurks.
He's not a podcast guy. He's just on Spaces all day.
He really is. It's impressive. We're not bashing you. It's impressive.
No, it is. It is indeed. All right, everybody. Well, thanks, everyone, for joining this Spaces here. Make sure you are subscribing to the LakersNation.com podcast. You can find it over on Apple Podcasts, find it on Spotify, anywhere that you listen to podcasts. We appreciate you hanging in there.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.